don't we have a word of prayer? First of all, I just want to thank you for being here this morning. So, Father, just thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for everyone that's here this morning. It's a blessing to have everyone. And, Father, I just pray for the next few minutes that we'll just be able to settle our hearts in. And, God, that we'll receive the challenge that's before us this morning. And, Lord, I'm super excited to just share this message with your people today. And, Lord, I just pray, God, that you'll just give us ears that hear, hearts that are receptive. And, Lord, I just pray that we would all just become attached to this word this morning. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, as I said, I just do want to thank you for being here. It's so good to see you guys. Look fantastic. And just want to talk about 3 weeks ago. It was 3 weeks to the date that I was going through my normal, what I call my Sunday routine, which my Sunday routine every week includes going to church. Somebody told me I had to be here, so every week I come. And then on that particular Sunday after the service, we had what we call our after party. So we had food available and people stayed. The place was just packed. It was awesome. By the way, how many people like the after party format we've been having? A lot of people have been saying, yeah, keep that going. It's a great time to visit. We love that. And we're going to actually be having one of those after parties 2 weeks from today. I believe that is March 1st. Hard to believe, just 2 weeks away is March. And then after that party, a couple of us stayed after a while. We cleaned up everything. And then my plan was on that day just to go home and to relax. And as I was home doing that, I received a text from our oldest son, Grant, in Chicago. And in the text, it was a text that really shocked me. It broke my heart. And that is, in the text, Grant asked the question, did I hear the news that Kobe Bryant had died in a helicopter accident? Okay? Did you hear that, Dad? And I had not, so what I did is I hurried and I ran and turned on the news in disbelief, and I discovered that what Grant was saying was a reality. I didn't want to receive it, but it was a reality. And I want to let you know, I was deeply sad, and I was probably one of many people that, I'm an emotional guy already, but that brought a tear to my eye. Okay, so I was sad, and as I watched the news for a couple hours afterwards, my heart just got a little heavier and heavier as I discovered that not only did Kobe die, but there was eight other people that were on that helicopter that morning that had died in this tragic event, and one of those was his 13-year-old daughter. I think it's pronounced Gianni. She also died in that helicopter accident along with two other 13-year-old kids. So I was very saddened by the news that day. It was just very captivating. I'm not here to tell you that. I just want to let you know that this morning that I'm not going to tell you that I was the biggest Kobe fan, okay? So I'm not saying, I always loved Kobe. I wasn't the biggest Kobe fan because that wouldn't be true. But here's the story, guys. As the days and the weeks have passed since Kobe's death, I've become a much, much bigger Kobe fan. I've come to really admire this gentleman. And my level of admiration has gone way beyond just being a basketball player. One of the things I admire is the stories you're hearing about who he was as a person off of the basketball court. That has really gripped my heart big time. And one of the reasons why I've come to admire Kobe is that he really began to inspire me. And some of the stories in his life, as I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos, have been very inspirational to me. Very inspirational to me. And one of the things that has inspired me greatly is this philosophy that Kobe adopted in his life, both on and off the court. And it's a philosophy that is labeled as Mamba mentality. Has anybody ever heard of that before? Mamba mentality? Has anybody heard that before? Am I the only one? Okay, have you heard that before? So you say, well, what is Mamba mentality? Well, we're going to just let Kobe tell us what Mamba mentality is. So for the next 50 seconds, I want to turn down the lights and I want to direct our attention to the screen and I want to let Kobe Bryant tell us what this Mamba mentality is all about.
There it is. That is as good as it gets right there.
One of the NBA's all-time greats.
And the Black Mamba strikes again.
Mamba mentality is it's a way of life. It's not an attitude per se, but it's a way to live. It's just trying to get better every single day. It's not something where you live with like a bravado or anything like that. It's just the simplest form of just trying to get better at whatever it is that you're doing.
Yes, he's on fire. The
Mamba.
The players like Kyrie Irving, players like Giannis, I mean, these are guys that are really working to strive to do that.
Oh, wow! Kyrie, the killer!
Antetokounmpo.
Oh!
The league is in good hands.
And you see the improvements in their game from it. And that's all my mentality is. It's just trying to get better every single day.
Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest players to play the game.
So you'll never know what you'll find out at Journey Church. Mamba mentality, okay? So I just want to dive into this quickly. And I love it because I just want you to, I hope you're not offended by us sharing about a basketball player, because it's going to be, you're going to discover it's going to be something much bigger than that this morning. You're going to discover this morning, I'm talking to you, each and every one of you, directly. Because I believe there's a word that God wants to speak into our lives from. And I believe that God can speak into our lives in so many different ways. And I want to use this guy as an example today. So what is Mamba mentality? Kobe says it's just trying to get better every single day. I mean, think about it. That's pretty powerful. He goes on to say in a different article that it's trying to get better at whatever you're doing. And really, we've narrowed it down to this. This whole Mamba mentality is about giving it your best. Every day, you're going to wake up and you're going to give it your best. And that's what I love about this. Whatever you're doing, every day is a gift. John Maxwell says, or actually it was the great late coach John Wooden that said, make every day a masterpiece. Make every day a masterpiece. So whatever it is you're doing, doing your best. And I realize this isn't some mind-blowing philosophy that's new, but the thing I love about this philosophy is it's very practical. And it may surprise you today that this Mamba mentality is actually found in the Bible. It's not called Mamba mentality, of course. You'll never see that in the Bible, okay? But I do want to let you know that there's some verses in the Bible that speak directly to what we're talking about. So I want to look at this from the scripture. But before we do, I want to tell you a story that I heard about Kobe, how this Mamba mentality played out in his life. And it's a story that Nolan shared with me. He said, Dad, there's an interview that you need to go and watch on YouTube. And in this interview, Kobe's talking to this guy named Lewis House. And in this interview, Kobe begins to reveal that when he was 11 years old, he was playing summer league basketball in the city of Philadelphia. And in this whole summer league, the story is that Kobe didn't score a single point. 11 years old, playing in a summer league, he'd scored 0 points. In his own words, he said, I didn't even hit a foul shot. I didn't even get a lucky bounce. He said, for that whole summer season, 0 points at age 11. So how did he handle that terrible experience with this young guy? Well, the story is, he tells the story. He says, I went home and I began to cry. And my dad saw me crying, and he said, my dad came over to me and he gave us this big hug. And I love this story. He said, my dad gave me a hug and he said, Kobe, whether you score 0 points or 60 points, I'm going to love you no matter what. And when I heard that, I said, this guy deserves to be the father of the decade. If you score 0 or 100 points, I'm going to love you no matter what. And Kobe said it was the words from his father that gave him the confidence and gave him the security to say, I'm willing to fail to fail. And not only did he say that, he said, I'll back that. I'm not going to settle with 0. I'm going to go for 60, okay? So what did after that summer league is he went back to work, and he said, I went back to the fundamentals, back to the basics. And he said, when everybody else was just practicing for 1 hour, 2 days a week, what I did is I went out for hours every single day. I went out. And he said, my practices became very systematic. I would find one place on the floor, and I would shoot there hundreds of times. And then I'd go to the next place and I'd shoot there hundreds of times. And he said, really, it's just really about simple math. He said, the more you put into it, the better you'll get. I want to say that again. Kobe said, the more you put into it, the better you'll get. So here's the rest of the story. That story started at age 11, scoring 0 points. By age 14, they said that Kobe Bryant was the best player in the state of Pennsylvania. So he went from scoring 0 points at age 11. In 3 short years, they declared that he was the best player in the state of Pennsylvania. So here's the question. How does something like that happen? How does that happen? Well, you could look at Kobe and say, well, look at him. God gave him this amazing talent. I mean, he's just an amazing physical specimen. But how many people know there's a lot more to it than that? Because I want to let you know there's a lot of people who have talent that don't use it. I want to say that one more time. There's a lot of people who have been given great talent, who have been given great ability, but they don't use it, and what they do is they waste it. But I think the thing that made Kobe different is that he was willing to give it his best each and every day. But really, that's the Mamba mentality. And as I said earlier, not only is that practical, it's biblical. So what I want you to do right now, if you're taking notes, I want to lay out three scriptures to you from the Bible that talk about this whole mentality of giving it your best each and every day. Whatever it is you're doing, I believe that God, he expects us, his creation, to give our best. So I want to look at a few scriptures. First one comes from the book of Colossians, where Paul is writing. And we need to remember, he's not writing on his own initiative. He's writing as God, the Holy Spirit, is leading him. So God is speaking these words to us this morning, to you where you're at in your life journey. And Paul writes these words. He says, whatever you do, I want that to sink into every one of us this morning. Whatever you do. So think about it. What is that you do? And then you look at the next three words. He says, work at it. It's not a one and done thing. It's something that takes each and every day. Whatever you do, work at it. And then it goes on to say, with all of your heart, meaning it's just not half-hearted. You're giving it your best. Give it your best. And I love the rest of the verse says, as you're working for the Lord, not for your human master. So here's the deal. We need to make sure that whatever it is that we're doing it for the right reason. And the right reason is we're doing it not for people, but as believers in Christ, the right reason, our motive is, and whatever we do, we're doing it for God. Because he gave us this time, he gave us this ability, he gave us the life that we have, and so we need to be doing it for him, okay? Let's look at a couple other verses. The next one's found in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, and actually the writer of Ecclesiastes, a king named Solomon, and the Bible declares that Solomon was the wisest person outside of Jesus Christ to ever walk the face of the earth. And look at what King Solomon says. He says, hey, whatever you your hands find to do, he says, do it with all your might. Meaning, hey, let's not take shortcuts. Let's go the extra mile. Let's give it everything we got. Whatever your hand finds to do, occupation, whatever it may be, don't just give it half-hearted effort, but do it with all your might. Actually, here's my favorite one found in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Paul writing again, he says, so whatever you eat or drink, and then he goes on to more detail. He says, whatever you do. By the way, can we say those three words together this morning? Whatever you do. Let's even change you to the personal pronoun, whatever I do. Everybody together, whatever I do. He says, do it all for the glory of God. You're not doing it for the your own glory. You're doing it for God's glory. Whatever he's given you, he's given you the abilities. He's given you the talents. Let's do it for him. Let's not do it for ourselves. So what I see in each one of these three verses is this, that God expects for us to give it our best. Whatever it is God's calling to, are you giving it your best? And here's the real truth of the matter is that not only does God expect our best, but we learn in Scripture that God rewards us when we give it our best, okay? So what I want to do is I want to just tell you a story. And I don't want you to turn there. You can write that down, though, because I'm going to paraphrase this parable that Jesus told. It's a story that Jesus told, and it's called the parable of the three servants. And I want you to listen carefully because this story applies to each and every one of us this morning. And the story begins by telling that there's this very wealthy man, okay, had a lot of money, and he had plans. And one of his plans was is he was going to go out on this trip. On the trip, he was going to be away for a long time. So before he left on his trip, he called in three people. He called in three servants, okay? And as he's visiting with these servants, he gives each one of the servants gifts. It says in the scripture, he gives each one of the servants talents. And the translation of talents is each talent represented a bag of silver. So when this man visited with his servants, first of all, he gave the first servant five bags of silver. He gave him 5 talents. Then he called the second guy over, and he gave the second guy 2 bags of silver, 2 talents. And then he called the third guy over, and he gave the third guy 1 talent, 1 bag of silver. So he gave them these gifts, and then he departed, and he went on this long trip, okay? And when he was gone on this long trip, each of the servants went to work. We find that the guy that got the 5 talents, what did he do? He went out and he gave it his best. And what happened is he took the 5 and he multiplied the 5 to 10. He doubled the investment. Then we look at the guy that had 2 talents. What did he do? He went to work. And what did he do? He doubled the investment. He went from 2 to 4. So for the sake of today's sermon, we could say that these guys certainly had the Mamba mentality. Certainly they gave it their best in what they were given. It's very clear in the story. But when it came to the third servant, there's a totally different story, and I want you to listen carefully. It says that the third servant was gripped with fear. He had fear. He was afraid to fail. And what happened as a result, what he did is he took out his shovel and he dug a hole. And he put the talent, he put the bag of silver in the ground. And that was the story. Well, the story continues that the guy that gave them the gifts came back from his trip. And he called each one of them into the room to give an account for the way that they used the talents that they received. And I want to break away from the story today to say this to each and every one of us. And that is that each and every one of us one day will stand before Jesus Christ. Me, you, all of us are going to stand before Jesus, and what we're going to do is we're going to give an account of the life that he gave us, because each and every one of us have been given much. We've been given talents, we've been given resources, we've been given time, and one day, just like the people in this story, we're going to give an account of how we lived our life. And we see in the story when the master learns that these first 2 guys had taken their investment and doubled it, we find out the guy gives them this great praise, and you probably know the story. The guy says to these first 2 guys that doubled their investment, and by the way, these are the words that I'm living for. These are the words I've decided to live my life for, and that is to hear Jesus one day say to me, Mike, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I just want to challenge us today, would we make that something that's at the end of our life, that we're living our life to hear Jesus say to us, well done, you are a good and faithful servant. And not only did he say that, what he did is he said, I gave you this, you doubled it, now I understand that I can entrust you with more. And the Bible says that the master gave them more responsibility. He gave them more to live with, okay? But when it came to the third guy was the one who took the talent and buried it into the ground and wasted it. When the guy discovered this, I want you to look at the words that the guy said to this third servant. He said this. He said, hey, you wicked and lazy servant. He called him wicked and lazy. And this week, I saw this verse in a new light. And that is that the master didn't seek it because something that he had done. It's not like when he went out and committed a crime and did something awful. He called him wicked because what he did not do. Is everybody catching that this morning? He's called wicked because what he did not do, meaning I gave you something and you didn't do anything with it. He calls him this good, he calls him this wicked and lazy servant. So what I learned from this story this morning and I want to share with you is that God expects, but God also rewards us when we do our best with whatever it is that he has given us. So no, there's not a single day that we can just say was just a waste or a single day where we can just take it easy. We need to make sure we're investing in what God gave us. So what I want to do right quick is I want to ask you 3 questions. And hopefully these are 3 questions that you'll take way beyond this morning and that you'll ask yourself time and time again. The first question is this, what is it that you do? Because in each one of those verses, the writer said, in whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly. So we need to understand or ask ourselves, what is it that we do? Or maybe we can ask it this way. What do you spend your time, what do you spend your day doing? What is it that you do? You say, I'm a spouse. That's big. That's something you do. I'm a parent. That's big. That's very noble. That's something you do. What do you do? What's your occupation? What is it that you do? I'm a student. That's big. That's something you have to do. It's very necessary. Maybe it's, I play this sport. What is it that you do? Maybe you say, I play an instrument. What is it that you do? Maybe you're involved in a ministry. Whatever it is you do. Maybe it's, you're in a position of leadership. Whatever it is you're doing. And you're going to find for many of us, there's several things that we do. But the whole thing I want you to think about in the next couple weeks is I want you to just stop, maybe take out a piece of paper and just put that question on top of the piece of paper and ask yourself, what is it that I do? Because I look at my life, I'm a spouse, I'm a parent, I have an occupation, I'm involved in ministry, I'm involved in different things. So what's your list look like this morning? What is it that you do, okay? Here's the second question, which is really big, and that is, are you getting better at what you do? Are you getting better at what you do? Or let me ask it this way. Are you giving it your best? Are you giving it your best? Or we can even ask it this way. Are you putting in the work necessary to get better? Are you putting in the work with what God has given you? Are you putting in the work to get better? That's why I've been so inspired by Kobe, because the stories are just endless. I mean, I was reading one article this last week where when most high school boys weren't waking up until the last minute to go to class, Kobe was in the gym every morning from 5 to 7, 5 to 7 in the morning, honing his skills, getting better at what he did because he wanted to be the best. And I love it because even after he retired from basketball, a great career after 20 years, he decided to turn his attention to being a businessman. And I read that, why? Because he wanted to pick their brain about how to be successful in business. And there were several guys that said there was times when I would wake up in the morning, I would find that I had received a text from Kobe Bryant at 3 a.m. because he had such a hunger to get better. And like I said, I'm not here to glorify Kobe Bryant this morning. I'm here to say to you, what is it that God has given you? Because we each have been given something. And we're going to be held responsible. There's going to be a day of accountability where we're going to stand before the Lord. And here's the question I need to ask you. Are you getting better at what you do? Are you becoming a better spouse? Are you becoming a better parent? There's a lot of parenting books that you can be reading about how to be especially if you have young ones, and how you could be a better parent. Are you becoming better in your occupation? Maybe you're taking an extension class. You're becoming better at what you're doing. Maybe whatever it is, what are you doing to get better? And I read an article recently by John Maxwell, who's this great leadership guru, and he says this: what if you made it your focus to improve by 10 or 5% over the next month in what you do? What if you just said, I'm going to improve by 5%? I'm going to get better by 5% with what God's called me to do. What would that look like over a year if you gave 5% increase every month in what you do? How are you becoming a better parent by 5%? How am I becoming a better spouse by 5%? Am I working in the area of communication? There's so many things, folks, that this applies to our lives, because here's the fact that I don't want you to forget. You're accountable for the life that God has given you. He's given you breath. He's given you resources. He's given you the gift of time. He's given you the gift of abilities and talents. And we can't just bury those things in a hole. But God expects us to say, hey, I gave you that. Now I want you to use that, and use it not for the world, but use it ultimately for my glory, for my fame. So the second question is, what are you doing to get better? And the third question is this: are you allowing fear, the fear of failure, to keep you from giving it your best? So many people are afraid to take that step to get better because they're afraid, what if I fail? What if I stumble? What if I fall? What will that look like? And John Maxwell will say, use every failure as failing forward. Even in my failures, I'm going to be moving forward. I'm using it to advance. And I want to just encourage you, are you allowing fear, the fear of a failure, to keep your talent and hiding it in the ground? I know of so many people who have great talent that never use it because they're fearful. They're afraid. What if I mess up? Well, that's just a part of life. How many people are thankful for the grace of God? the second chances, that when we do fall, we can get even better the next time. We can be more prepared the next time. And I just want to speak life into us as people, individuals today. God has given you something. Whatever it is that you do, use what you have done, grow it, nurture it, get better at what you're doing. Don't live in fear. Believe that there's just this unlimited potential that's available to you. And if you hook into God, he can take you places you've never been before. And everyone said, amen, amen. So I just want you to ask yourself three questions. I just want to ask those questions to yourself for the next week or so. What is it that God's called me to do? How can I get better? I just want to get better at what I do, and let's do it for the glory of God. But here's what I want to do. I want to just shut this down this morning. I just want to share three thoughts with you. And that is, if you're a person today that has said yes to Jesus, you said yes to Jesus, I want to encourage you to have this Mamba mentality when it comes to your relationship with Christ. Meaning, don't just cut the corners and see if you can get away with the bare minimum with Jesus. But I want to encourage everybody to give it your best, because I want you to look at this amazing verse Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. He says, hey, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person, everybody say that together, one person gets the prize. So Paul says, hey, run to win. What's Paul saying? Hey, when it comes to your faith, don't just try to get there and just qualify, do the bare minimum. He says, when it comes to your faith, why don't you run your walk of faith, or run your faith walk in a way that you say, I'm going to win. God, I'm going to give you my best. God, I'm not here just to get to heaven. I'm here to make a difference in the world where I'm at. I'm going to run. I'm going to live this faith walk to win. I'm in all the way. I'm engaged. God, I don't want to just coast. I want to run to win, okay? So I just want to encourage you, if you're a follower of Jesus, let's get this mentality of the following Jesus. We're giving it everything we've got. Second thing I want to say in closing is this. I want to thank everyone who serves at Journey Church with the Mamba mentality. We have several people in this church that they're giving it everything they've got. And I want to let you know that this church will not exist without you doing that. And I just want to thank you so much for all that you do to give your best in this house. In this house, you doing your best is going to help us to be better. Does everybody hear that this morning? And I just want to say thank you. And I can list name after name of people who are giving it their best. I know a guy that was here this morning when most of us were still in bed this morning. He was here getting everything ready for the service, texting me saying, I got everything ready. Are you ready to go? And I was like, that is Mamba mentality. And that's what we need in the church, is we need everyone. What would this place look like if everybody gave it their best? And you're not doing your best for me. I'm no one. You're doing your best for the Creator God who gave you the abilities and talents. But there's several of you this morning where I just want to say with all my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving your best here at Journey Church, all for the glory of God. Amen. And the last thing I want to say is I want to just thank Jesus. You know, Jesus had Mamba mentality. He didn't call it that. What he called it is he gave it his best when he gave his life. 2,000 years ago, God gave his best by sending his son. Then Jesus gave his best by giving his life for each and every one of us. He didn't hold back and give us his second best, but Jesus Christ gave his very best for each and every one of us when he went to the cross, because it was on the cross that he would die for our sins. Sins that we could never take care of and pay for on our own, Jesus took upon himself. He who was without sin became our sin so that we could die and we could have eternal life with Jesus. And I just want to thank Jesus publicly for taking that extra step and giving it everything, giving it his very best. He came to earth for each and every one of us. He came to earth to give it his best for every person on the planet. It's an amazing story because we all have something in common. We all need a savior. Because here's the reality of the deal, folks. We've all messed up. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every single one of us. And we're in a bad, bad spot without Christ. And I'm so thankful that Jesus came and he died on the cross simply so those who ask for forgiveness can receive forgiveness and can now be brought into the family and fellowship with God. And we have so much to be thankful for today that Jesus is our role model. He's the one that goes before us and he shows us what it means to give everything we've got because we're following his example. As some wise person once said, Jesus gave us his life. Shouldn't we give our lives to him by living for him? Shouldn't we give it everything that we've got because he gave everything for us? And I just want to encourage you this morning, that's really the message, that one day we're all going to stand before Christ. There's two different judgments that's talked about in Scripture. The first judgment is the judgment simply upon what did you do with Jesus? Did you receive him or did you reject him? If you received him, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're forgiven. You're brought into, you have salvation. But there's a second judgment where we stand before Christ and we give an account for our lives of how did we use what God gave us? How did we use the gifts, the talents, the time, the resources? How did we use all those things that God gave us? Did we give it our best? And I just want to encourage all of us this week, would you step it up just another notch and say, Lord, when I go to work, I'm really doing this for you. God, I'm giving you my best. God, when I go to school, I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to do this for you. I'm giving it my best. And I just want to encourage us, let's be a people that are marked by this mentality that God, I'm not going to hold back. Life's too short. It's fleeting. It's a vapor. It's passing. God, every day I'm going to invest. Every day I'm going to invest in what you have given me. And I just want to challenge you today, will you be one of those type of people? Will you live with this mentality that, God, there's no holding back. It's all for you. Amen? How many people are thankful for what Jesus did for us? How many people, I just want us to bow our heads this morning, how many people are thankful for what Jesus did? Everything, gave everything, held nothing back, went to a cross, took nails in his hands and his feet, took a spear in his side, took lashings on his back. He took the pain of the cross, the agony of the cross for us. And Jesus, we respond today by saying, thank you, Lord. Jesus, let's just do that in your own way right now. I'm not asking you to speak out loud. I'm just in your own heart. Say, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you that you gave everything for me. And I'll be forever grateful. And not only will I just be grateful that I'm going to heaven, but I'll be grateful and I'll show that by living my life on this side of eternity. I'll live my life for an audience of one. I'm not worried about what everybody else sees and they do, but Lord, I'm living my life for you. I'm living my life so that one day I can hear the words of these first two servants and I can hear the words of Jesus from the lips of Christ saying, well done, you were a good and faithful servant. Whatever it is I gave you, you gave it all that you got. You gave it your best shot. You used the talents, the gifts, the abilities. And I just thank you for that today, Lord. So Lord, speak to us this week. Help us not to be wasteful. Help us, I just pray that none of us would operate in fear. And whatever it is, area in your life, I want to rebuke fear in our lives. That we're not going to be fearful of failure. But God, we're going to give it everything we've got. Even if we fail, we're going to get up again and we're going to give it our best effort again. And we just thank you for that today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.